the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, March 6th, 2020. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker for his usual Friday visit. We're going to talk a lot about running backs today, Jay Book. We're going to finish the show talking about Baron Browning. We'll get into a little bit of recruiting as well. But let's start with Ohio State's running back situation. Obviously, the Master Teague injury, bad news for the Buckeyes this week. It's the first time you and I have talked about it, Jay Book. I just want to get your reaction to that injury. What are you hearing? How long do you think he might be out from what you're hearing from your sources and just your general reaction to that news?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm hoping the kid can have a speedy recovery. I thought Master Teague was due for a really big breakout this year. He was going to get all the touches and the opportunity in the world to show that he was a big-time back. So you hate to hear a kid who already missed his senior year of high school due to an ankle injury. Now he's out with an Achilles injury. You just hope that whenever he does come back, all indications are, and I was reading what you, Kevin Wilson had told you, you know, potentially give or take up to 6 months. And the thing with Achilles injuries is they're, you know, guys can come back. We saw Tuff Woolen come back fairly quickly from it, but with the running back position, will he have that explosive nature in this game? Will he be able to make people miss in the open space, which is a requirement for the running back position? You know, if you can get anything from Master T this year, at this point, it's going to be a cherry on top. That's a serious injury to come back from. And he's going to be a guy that has to rely on his speed and explosive nature. If not, then I would say shut him down, redshirt him if he's not going to come back healthy and if he's coming back gimpy. So if you're looking at a six-month timetable here, you're pushing into fall camp. And at that point, what type of game shape will he really be in? Will he be ready to go to handle any type of workload? That's to be determined. You're just going to have to put a lot of faith and trust in Ohio State's medical staff and strength and conditioning staff to try to get him ready. It's an unfortunate event, especially when you look at the numbers at that position. It's probably the thinnest group out of anyone on the roster. So having your, you know, guy who's top five rushing in the Big Ten go down before spring ball even starts is a big blow.
No question about it. I know people, you know, everybody was like harping on how he looked in the Clemson game, kind of forgetting for the entire season before that, he looked damn good. I know he struggled against Clemson, but, you know, I thought overall Master Teague looked really good. And, you know, Buckeye fans were saying throughout the year he'd start on every team in the Big Ten except for two, Ohio State and Wisconsin. And then kind of after one game, it seemed like Buckeye fans started to sour on him, which I never understood. But like you said, very well said. Hopefully it's not as serious as we think, and he will be back. But like you said, even if he's cleared after 6 months, how explosive will he be? How will he be able to cut on that injury? It's definitely unfortunate news. Moving on, Marcus Crowley is a guy that you've been high on for a long time, you know, not just because of what you saw last year, but just talking to people behind the scenes. You know, he's still going to be out. He's going to be out for the rest of spring, but they say he's going to be back before camp starts, so that's good news. What are you hearing there? When do you think he's going to be fully cleared, and maybe what can fans expect from Marcus Crowley this season?
Yeah, I've been a huge advocate of Marcus Crowley, a big-time prospect coming out of Florida, being the high school player of the year out of Florida, playing against some of the toughest competition. And I'm a little concerned here because he's been out for quite a bit of time. Now they're saying the timetable is that they're hoping that he's going to be back for camp. Obviously, you're hoping for the best here, but he's really pushing up against it. He's missing a lot of football here. It's one thing to be able to step back into a role if you have valuable game reps and experience, and you have, you know, 100 carries under your belt or something like that where you're familiar with the college level speed. But that's not the case with Crowley. He played a more of a reserve role last year, and at the same time, he looked pretty darn good. Now, it's another situation here. Once he gets cleared, what type of game shape will he be in? Fingers crossed that the knee doesn't swell back up once he's cleared. But to me, it's very important that he gets back to 100% here. There's no 70 or 80% rushing him back just because you're so afraid of what the numbers look like on that side of the football as far as the running back position. But I'm a little nervous right now. I wouldn't be as nervous with Crowley if Master Teague was healthy, but the simple fact that he's going to be coming back around the same time frame. But if you look at Marcus Crowley's injury, it happened a long time ago, and he still has a ways to get back. It's going to take a lot of effort from him as far as making sure that he's getting the proper treatment and he's rehabbing that injury so that when he comes back, he's ready to go. Because once you have a football injury and you've been out of football for a long time and you haven't had contact for a long time, it's going to take your body a period of adjustment here. So even though Marcus Crowley could be back for camp, I still think it's going to take him at least a couple games to really get back into that type of shape, because you can run all the gassers and the sprinting on the sidelines and doing sand drills all you want to, but it's a whole different beast when it comes to being in actual game shape. Once you're taking the hits, once you're getting 10 to 15, 17 carries and your body's taking that type of pounding, but you're also able to maintain your speed and your power in the fourth quarter, that's what you want to see. And hopefully that they can get Marcus Crowley back, because I've been pretty high on him. I know Randy Wade has said he's going to be the next one in line that's going to have a major impact at the running back position. And I take his word for that. The small glimpse that we saw from him in mop-up duty, he really showed that elusiveness that you want to see out of your running back, as well as being able to show a little bit of power there. So my fingers are crossed. I have high hopes for him, but I would be disingenuous if I said I wasn't a little bit worried considering the numbers that we're looking at right now at the running back position.
Let's talk about the one scholarship running back who is healthy right now for the Buckeyes, Steel Chambers. What a great name, by the way. I mean, Master Teague's a great name. Steel Chambers, great name. Both those guys in the all-name team. You could probably put Gunnar Hoke on there as well. But Steel Chambers, a guy that was a high school star, never left the field, was a linebacker and running back, two-time state champion, you know, in a talent-rich state of Georgia. I know he went to a relatively small school in Georgia, but still was still ranked as one of the top 210 players in the nation coming out of high school. I'm curious to get your take on Steel Chambers. If he has to be the starting running back this year for the Buckeyes, how do you think he would do, J-Book?
The one good thing that you can hang your hat on is this is going to be an outstanding offensive line this year. I'm pretty certain that if a guy is healthy and he's capable of reading his keys as far as the offensive line, he will push for 1,000 yards. Still, Chambers is to be determined on what he's going to look like on the big stage. The guy has never really played big-time football here. There was a period of time when he was getting recruited that a lot of people was uncertain if he was actually going to be a running back. Some people believe that he was a better prospect as a linebacker coming out of Georgia. And they moved him to running back, and he is a big dude. I mean, when you see him in person and you see him running downhill, he's like a bull in a china shop. So I think that he's going to obviously get the most touches and the cracks and get all the reps with the first team. I'm curious to know how they're going to load manage him, because with the numbers so thin, and I can't believe that at a place like Ohio State that we're now to the point to where the numbers are so thin at the Cadillac position, the running back position, that you're talking about there's only one scholarship player on the roster in the spring. It just totally baffles my mind. But I think Steele's going to do well. I think he's going to have the benefit of having top five NFL quarterback that he's going to be running behind. He's going to have probably the best offensive line, if not top five offensive line in all of college football that he's going to run behind. So those two factors are really going to benefit him. I think Ohio State this year is going to be a pass-first offense. They have no choice but to, considering the wide receiver position is the most talented skill position on the team. You're going to see a lot of Justin Fields throwing the football. They don't need Steel Chambers to be a Heisman-caliber running back. He just needs to be a serviceable running back to where defenses can respect Ohio State's running attack, and he's able to – he's going to get a lot of running lanes. He just – have to be able to capitalize on it.
I got to throw Tuff Borland, of course, on the all-name team as well. I can't believe I forgot about Tuff Borland there. Great, especially when you're a middle linebacker. We'll get into linebackers later in the show. But, yeah, Steel Chambers, I like him. 6'1", 220 pounds. I mean, he is just well put together, and he runs well. He's fast. I think he, again, he wasn't like some three-star recruit. I keep saying he's, like, underrated. I think people forget how, you know, he was a four-star recruit that was one of the top 210 players in the nation in his recruiting class in 2019. So we'll see what happens with Steel Chambers. A couple more running backs I want to ask you about, running back situations. Let's just combine these two. Thank goodness the Buckeyes have Mayan Williams coming in, true freshman. Not that he's expected to be a star or anything, but my gosh, they just need healthy running backs. And Mayan Williams is not a burner. He's absolutely not a burner, but he can make you miss and he can run you over. I just think he's a very physical back, and I'm just glad that they were able to steal him away from Iowa State. I want to get your thoughts on Mayan Williams, and do you think Ohio State has to get a running back if for no other reason, just for depth in the portal now?
I'll start with the question in regards to the portal. You will hope that they're able to do it, but the problem that you're running into is the numbers crunch, and that's been the situation from the start right after recruiting, because they had to pass on a couple guys because the numbers weren't right. And I'm not sure the total count right now, but I know for several months now, Ryan Day said they're pretty full. If they do find someone, it's going to have to be pretty much a one-and-done, a grad transfer. I know on Twitter I had talked about Ricky Slade, and I thought he would be a good prospect to at least kick the tires on, but at the same time, a kid like that, you don't know if he's going to be cleared by the NCAA or if he's going to have to sit out a year. If you're going to go into the actual portal, you're going to need someone who's eligible to play right now and not necessarily a guy that will probably have to stick around the program 2 years or so. You probably just want to immediate grad transfer like you have with Jonah Jackson, if there is anyone out there who's able to fulfill that role. But Mayan Williams, he's a guy that I thought coming in was a developmental guy, someone that was provided depth. They had to have a running back commitment in that last class. It's unfortunate now that we're looking at this kid to be able to come in right away and step up. Not a lot of true freshmen can actually do that. But that's going to be the initial case. He's probably going to automatically start running with the second team as soon as he touched down on campus, because if Marcus Crowley is not cleared until August or so when camp starts, or late July when camp starts, as soon as he's in there, as far as Mayan Williams, he's going to get at minimum some second team reps, because you can't rush Marcus Crowley back as soon as he's cleared. You're going to have to ease him back into it. And I know there was a couple pictures of Mayan Williams floating around the message board showing that he's been in the weight room getting his body right, before and after picture. And I hope it's true. He has to have a sense of urgency. You hate to put that type of pressure on an incoming running back, especially at a place like Ohio State, because the pressure can swallow you up if you're not ready mentally, not alone physically, because playing in the Big Ten will take a grind on you. I would feel a lot better about Mayan Williams if he was already on campus participating in spring ball so that he can get his feet underneath him a little bit. But once you arrive on campus as a freshman, your head is swimming, and not necessarily just about football, but about life in general, because it's the first time you've moved away from home. You're trying to get your bearings. Classes are getting ready to start up, and you're just trying to adjust to being a normal college student, not alone being thrown right into the fire on the number two team in college football. So it's going to be a lot to ask from Mion Williams. I tell you what, Tony Alford is going to have to earn his money this year, because a lot of the recruiting misses that we've seen over the last 2 years are starting to pop their heads up. But I've always given Tony Alford the benefit of the doubt, because I thought that he always got the most out of his running backs when it came to on-the-field production. And his record when it comes to getting his guys to produce speaks for itself. He's going to have an all-time coaching type of year to make sure that they can at least hold serve here when it comes to the running back production.
All right, let's switch gears and talk a little recruiting real quick. Just one guy, the main guy, number one wide receiver in the country, number nine overall player in the country, Emeka Egbuka from the state of Washington. There's some talk out there that Ohio State might perhaps be the leader. Some people, you know, there's some people who say maybe it's, you know, Clemson might be a little bit in front and Washington's still one to watch. But most people seem to think that the Buckeyes are the favorite here. I mean, that'd be great news, obviously, and Brian Harlan continues to kill it. Just your thoughts on that news, Jay Book.
Yeah, you have to feel really good where Ohio State's at right now. For the last several weeks, there's been a lot of smoke out there that the Buckeyes are in a great position here. And the way things are trending, and I know a Washington insider on the 24/7 board has said that Ohio State right now holds a heavy lead. And if you're to take his word for it, then that is tremendous news. And it's just another testament to Brian Hartline and his recruiting skills. The guy is an absolute beast when it comes to recruiting. The fact that they can go all the way out there once again in the Pacific Northwest and pull out a top 10 national player, if they're able to land his commitment, would just be a tremendous boon for the program. He's the type of kid that you don't redshirt. He plays right away. I looked at some of the clips recently from him in the 707 where he just was absolutely dominating kids. But if you can get him in the fold and have Gee Scott Jr. helping with his recruitment, then I think Ohio State is really positioning themselves. That's all you can ask for right now, is to get yourself at least in that top two, top three when it comes to the kids' top choices, and then hit it out the ballpark once you're able to get him on campus for a visit.
Yeah, I like this budding pipeline from the state of Washington. Never thought that would occur, but it's the Buckeyes might get the number one D tackle in the country from the state of Washington. They might get the number one wide receiver from the state of Washington. I call it the G. Scott effect, whether it's G. Scott Sr., G. Scott Jr., helping the Buckeyes recruit. Just a good situation there. All right, as promised, let's finish the show talking about Baron Browning. Kind of was miscast last year, I thought. I mean, I thought he finally was like, it felt like the light came on for him last year, but he still, I thought, was miscast as a middle linebacker, backup middle linebacker. They would kind of rotate him and Tough Borland being the starter, Browning being the backup. Now, Baron Browning's playing outside linebacker. He's also playing some defensive end, probably more of a situational pass rusher. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a three-down defensive end or anything like that. But very interesting development there with Baron Browning saying he's playing outside linebacker and defensive end heading into his senior season, Jay Book.
Yeah, this, when I heard that news, it made me stand up at my desk and give a little silent Tiger Woods fist pump there, because this is what I have been waiting for. This kid, I feel like, has been playing out of position since he's arrived at Ohio State. Now, unleash his talent. This kid is a big-time prospect when he's able to bend the corner there. We saw the flashes of it last year. Let him see football. Get football, see quarterback, get quarterback. Allow him to utilize that size and speed and come off the edge in situations where he's able to rush the quarterback. But just having him flanked on the outside, that's his natural position. I know they tried to make him into a Mike linebacker, but a lot of times it was said that his development was vastly slowed down because the game was moving way too fast for him at the mic spot. When you're at that middle linebacker spot, you're in charge of making sure the defense is getting set, the calls are coming in, but you're also having to make sure that you're keeping your responsibility. When you're on that outside, you're able to utilize your athleticism a little bit more, and I thought that his fit has always been on the outside. And with his size, he's able to get after the quarterback on the edge there. And I really like this move here. I think it's going to free up a lot of those younger linebackers when it comes to the depth position here. My only hope is that Tuff Boylan get back to form here. I know after that Achilles injury, it kind of looked like he was running in the mud. But with him being back, there were times last year that I felt that even though Baron Browning was out of position, he was even better than Tuff at that Mike linebacker spot. But I think the defense will be better off with Baron playing on the outside and rushing the quarterback.
Great insights, as always, from Jonah Booker. Thank you very much, Jay Book. And thank you to all the listeners out there for tuning into the show. I appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend. Let's check out Swag, best damn band in the land.
Hello everyone, it's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.